Don't ever be said that songbooks don't make you have to learn new things. I had to learn how to count higher. Our text will be from Ephesians chapter 5 and the first two verses is where our lesson begins tonight. How many times have you been driving down the road and observed some interesting driving habits of other drivers? You know, like they're texting in one hand, they've got a coffee cup in the other hand, and they're driving with their elbows. The problem is, you know, those drivers are not safe. But yet they think they're safe because they may not have ever had an accident. The truth is, it's just not safe. But how often, when you examine those other drivers, do you see yourself? Do we ourselves drive in an unsafe manner? But you still think that you are a better driver. What would it take for people to drive more safely? Would it be an accident? I remember my first accident in February of 1973. Those five fence posts and a telephone pole and a tree jumped out in the middle of the road. But after I got my other car, it was 2 weeks before I went over the speed limit. Would an accident make you drive more safely? Would an accident in which someone got hurt make you drive more safely? Or maybe an accident where someone you love dies because of your poor driving skills or habits. You know, most car insurance companies offer discounts. And we gain those discounts oftentimes by not having accidents and filing claims. And when our children get to the age of driving, we see the premiums go skyrocket. But because of your clean driving record, they don't go near as high as they could. Why is that? I say that the reason is because of your driving habits that they are under the impression that your children will imitate their parents' driving habits. You know, they say that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. But I say that imitation is the greatest form of education. A child learns by watching a parent. A boy will typically want to do what their dad is doing, and girls will typically want to do what their mothers are doing. They learn from someone they trust. To some degree, we mold our children's personality, their actions and habits, and we mold their lives. Now, I'm not saying that our children are going to grow up to become us, but they will have many of our traits. We see both the good and the bad of us in our children. We hear it in their words. We see it in their actions. And we know that they learned that behavior by watching us. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, Paul writes here, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now I'm going to start off on the back side of this verse instead of the front side. As dear children. A parent who wants their child to grow like them and be like them takes on a responsibility. God says, "I am the parent, and you are my child. Imitate me." The English word imitate comes from the Greek word mimetos, from which we get our English word mimic. And God is saying here, mimic me. It is a command. And it is, without a doubt, probably the most difficult command in the Bible. Now, it can be phrased in several ways. But the most common forms that we find today in the New Testament or whatever is found in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, chapters 19 and verse 2, and chapter 20 and verse 7. And it's where we get the phrase, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, it would be great to say, well, God said that to the Jews when they were in the wilderness, and it doesn't apply to us. But the problem with that lies is what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 14 through 16, where Peter writes here, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy. So you be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." The calling to be like God is a calling to separate ourselves from evil. We imitate God by walking as God walks. We imitate God by separating ourselves from the evil that is out there that seems to grab hold of us and draws us in. The command to imitate God is not an easy command. It requires that each and every day we do our due diligence in following God. We just cannot skate on down the road and hope that we don't have any real problems. We have a role model who helps us to live differently. God says, "That's me, and I will show you what I am like by becoming flesh and living among you. Then you can walk in my footsteps." You see where I'm getting at when I say that? He sent Jesus, a mirror image of God. Sent him here on this earth. We have four books in the New Testament that tells us how Jesus walked each and every day. And we are to imitate that. In verse 2 of Ephesians 5, Paul writes here, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." We are loved children of God. We are a chosen, blessed, and rich child of God. Our sins were abolished and we're free. Free from the smell of the filth and the garbage that sin was in our lives. And now, because we are in Christ, we are a sweet and pleasant aroma to God. We know that because we saw it in Christ, and he taught us how to walk. If you could sum up God's character, if you could sum up his attitude and his actions, you could sum it up in one word, and that word would be love. John simply states that God is love. And when John gave us that phrase, he did it very much in the same context that Paul writes out in the first two verses of Ephesians 5. Now let's look at 1 John 4. Let's read through verses 7 through 11. And John wrote here, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And in this was the manifested love of God toward us, that we might live, or because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we want to imitate God, then the calling is to imitate his love. That love is seen in Jesus, who loved us so much and so completely that he was willing to take our sins upon himself and pay the price for sin. That price, as Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 tells us, is death. But we do not have to endure that because of Jesus Christ. You know, for the Roman soldiers and the Roman Empire at that time, the cross was a symbol of torture. But to us, it's a symbol of love. To love as God loves, to walk as Jesus walked, to live in holiness and righteousness requires us to learn to love deeply. The idea of imitating God and walking in love really is the most difficult command. And yet it can be the most fulfilling, even in this life. You know, there's a difference between a need love and a gift love. A child expresses a need love. Jesus expressed on the cross a gift love. That's imitating God. That's the calling for us. The first aspect of learning to love is learning to love God first. Let's face it, to the physical senses, sin is an enjoyable experience. The sin seeks to capture us. It lures us into this false sense of joy because of the feelings that are attached to that because of our senses. But as we learn to love God first, we realize that sin and its false pretenses of love and joy is really an evil that drags us away from the real love and the real joy that we can find in the life that walks as Jesus walked. Think for a moment the transformation of Saul to the Apostle Paul. What was it that changed him? Now you might say, well, it was that experience on that road to Damascus. That would change anybody. But what changed him from killing Christians to becoming the greatest missionary the world has ever known? Paul fell in love with God through Jesus Christ. Paul lived his life imitating Christ. He loved others as Jesus loved. He found the secret to a joyous and free life, even amid the hardships. Philippians chapter 4, a verse that many of us maybe could even quote front to back, back to front. However, but it sums up Paul. Starting in verse 11, going through 13, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If we go back and we read in the book of Acts, Paul's missionary journeys and what he went through, and if we went through those very same things today, could we write those verses down? Could we tell everybody, well, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, stoned, whipped, jailed. Hey, you know, I'm a happy person. I don't think so. I couldn't. How can I live in love and joy with that? How can I sit there and love the ones who persecuted me? But you know, it's what God commands. It's what God wants us to do in imitating Him. And if we want to imitate Him, then first and foremost, we need to learn to love. Because without that, we are just a faux Christian. Our children will follow our example. And to some degree, their speech will reflect our speech. And their attitude towards others will reflect our attitudes. Their willingness to imitate God will reflect in how they have seen us imitate God. Think about that. These are little minds full of wonder. They are learning so many things. But what is it we truly want them to learn? To read? To do arithmetic? To major in the sciences? Or do we want them to learn to love first and foremost? I hope this calls us to reflect on our lives. And yes, the more that we can learn to live in love, that sacrificial love like Jesus does for us, the better chance our children will have a learning love to imitate. And they will have a desire to imitate God also. Jesus gave us the human example of God's love. So let us imitate God. Let's walk in love that is sacrificial. Let us walk in love that longs for others to be better than they would have been without our help and comfort and support. That's the calling today. And that is the greatest commandment that is the hardest to do. Take it as a challenge, and don't let the challenge pass you by. If there is anyone here this evening that is in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity. There's things in your life that has wore you down, wore you out. Let it be known that we can pray for you and pray with you. That maybe you're not a child of God. You need to ask the serious question, where is the joy in this life? Because you will not find joy in this life. But there is a joy that can be found while you are living this life, and that is the joy of being in Christ. You will repent and confess Him as the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of sins. You can enter into His kingdom, as God will add you to His church. there's anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.